us, Lord. Yes, unto you be glory and honor, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the power that's in your name. We thank you that every time we feel afraid and broken and discouraged, Lord, that your name gives us strength. And every time we feel lost, you guide us, Lord. The powerful name of Jesus heals our sicknesses and delivers us from our afflictions. Lord, we honor you today. Today, Jesus, it's all about you. We give you the praise, Lord. You're the reason that we live, Lord, and we love you and we praise you and we celebrate you on this great Resurrection Sunday. Help us to live more like you, Lord. Help us to love more like you. Help our lives to change, to become more like you, Jesus. And everyone that agrees, say amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. You can be seated. Thank you. Good morning. I just want to take a minute to welcome you. If you don't know me, my name is David Canastracy. And if you're new to Gateway, really what we're all about, what all the work and buildings and focus and lights and whatever else is going on, the kids and the youth and all this really is, boils down for us to one simple belief, and that is that we believe that lives can change. And that's what our church is all about. We say here, it's about inspiring, transformed lives. And it's our prayer today that as a result of us being together, that your life would change. I want to take just a minute to thank some people that have made this weekend from Good Friday all the way through Saturday morning prayer, and then this yet our third service today, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, and in four other cities besides San Jose, Santa Rosa, Modesto, Clovis, and Gilbert, Arizona. People are gathering, and hundreds of people have worked very hard because they believe in the power of a changed life. So I want to say to the worship team and to the speakers and the ushers and the sound people and the greeting team and the parking team, I just want to say I have felt your strength from Friday night, and I'm so proud to lead you. Could we give all of our army of volunteers? I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much. Today, my subject is the hero of heaven. And I'd like to introduce you to our main verse. It's Psalm 78, verse 35, the hero of heaven. It says, they remembered that God, the mighty one, everyone say the mighty one, yeah, was their strong protector. They remembered that God, the mighty one, was their strong protector, the hero God, who would come to their rescue. I want to talk to you today about this hero God and how he comes to rescue us. Today, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the hero of heaven who came just about 2,000 years ago. And on that first Resurrection Sunday morning, when darkness was all around him and it looked like everything that people believed in was destroyed, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in an unexpected moment, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and in so doing, he set us free from the power of death, hell, and the grave. He becomes for us the hero of heaven. But let me take you to a more recent case of heroism as we get into this subject, and we'll return to the subject of Jesus, the hero of heaven. But how many of you remember last November, the campfire that broke out around Chico and Paradise, California? How many remember that? That was quite a destructive wildfire. In fact, the most destructive wildfire in all of California's history. It was the deadliest wildfire in 100 years in the United States, scorching 240 square miles of territory, destroying 18,805 structures and taking 85 lives. So massive was this fire, it took hundreds of firefighters 17 days before they could even say the fire was under control. So intense was this fire that most of that damage that I've just described took place in the first 4 hours of destruction. Well, that was the perfect time for a hero to emerge. In the middle of those frightening first hours, with firestorms exploding on every side, a young man named Kevin McKay drove a school bus loaded with 22 elementary school children. Kevin had only been on the job for a couple of months when that day began to test his ability as a leader and as a bus driver. Now Kevin is tasked with getting himself and his passengers, two teachers and 22 elementary school children, out of the danger of fire into safety. This moment would be Kevin McKay's defining moment if he survived. And as he struggled to navigate the roads there that were now choking down, not only with smoke, but with other vehicles that were fleeing for their lives, he came into a gridlock traffic jam, and the fire was moving much, much faster than traffic was. So here he is, an inexperienced school bus driver driving these 22 children and wondering, they have this dilemma, should they flee the bus? Was the bus safer than running away on foot? Or should they flee? And what was going to become of them? A choice that no one would ever want to make. One of the teachers, Mrs. Davis, said that she was sure they were going to die. The fire was moving so fast and there was nowhere for them to go. They prayed, and you would too. And five harrowing hours later, the children and all the passengers on the bus were safely reunited with their parents. It was a miracle. Kevin later said that one of the teacher's husbands, who was so glad to have his wife back, hugged him so hard he thought he was going to break his back. And he played it off because they called him a hero. The teacher said, "You're a hero." He said, "Oh my gosh, no, I just doing my part." But the teachers knew that he was a hero. In fact, the headline of the story that I read about him back in the time was, "We had the bus driver from heaven." That's what they called him, the bus driver from heaven. Have you ever wondered where the real heroes are? Are they the people we see in media, or are they other people? Where are the heroes of today? Where have all the heroes gone? It's a question that seems relevant to us today, at least if movies are any measure of what's on our minds as a culture. In the past 3 years, we've had a lot of hero movies, superhero movies. I counted 16 superhero movies just in the last 3 years. Feel free to applaud for your favorite one, but we start with Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Black Panther, a personal favorite, Batman versus Superman, Justice League, Thor, the X-Men, Avengers, Captain Marvel, Aquaman, didn't catch that. That guy intimidates me. Ant-Man, Captain America, and the most recent one, Shazam, but my favorite of all of them, The Incredibles. Now that's a flurry of superhero movies. One could say a gaggle of superhero movies coming out at a clip of about one superhero movie every 4 months for the past 3 years. What is going on in our culture? We have an appetite to see heroes. Maybe it's because we're desperate because of the times that we live in, how messed up the world has become in a culture where the news is always talking to us about the crooked institutions and the creepy politicians and the broken systems that are in our culture. The heart's cry of so many of us in the midst of pervasive hopelessness and cynicism that is everywhere in our culture, our heart's cry has become, where are the heroes? Is there somebody out there that's true? Is there somebody out there that's got the power to change the story? And here's the problem and the challenge. All of us are looking for heroes, but we seem to be surrounded by nothing more than zeros. Like the guy I told you about a few months ago, if you were here, I mentioned this story. It was in the news that he and his girlfriend had come to a drive-through chicken place to get some lunch and have a picnic. They come up to the window after they place their order, and the girl handed them a bag, which they believed was their chicken lunch. But what they soon discovered was that the manager of the store had inadvertently left a bag of the day's cash receipts right next to the place where the food was, and she picked up the bag of cash, thinking it was a lunch. She gave it away to him, and they drove off thinking they were going to have their chicken picnic. And so they got to a park where they were going to have their date, and they opened up the bag, and here it was, like $800 worth of cash. So is he going to be a hero, or is he going to be a zero? Well, it's an interesting story, because he did turn around and bring the bag of cash back through the drive-thru, and he handed it to the manager, who was sweating profusely by that time, trying to figure out how in the world he was going to get his cash back for the day. And the manager was so elated, he said, "Dude, you're a hero. This is unbelievable." He said, "Look, let's get a picture. I want to get a picture of you. We're going to put it in the paper. People like you don't exist anymore." He said, "No, that's not necessary. I'm not a hero." He said, No. "We're going to tell far and wide. We're going to put this on Instagram and everything. You're going to be a hero." He said, Dude, stop. I don't want my picture anywhere." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, actually, I'm a married man, but this woman that I'm with, it's not my wife. So just keep it on the DL, right?" So hero or zero? In any case, I think I know where the real chicken was. So where are the heroes? Where are the heroes? And would we even know what a hero looked like if we saw one? Seems like we're a little confused in our culture. At least we're not in agreement about who our heroes are. We can't seem to unite around anybody. The Gallup group tracks the popularity of famous people, the people that Americans admire the most. And last year's results, 2018 results, came in, and it was quite a varied group of people that Americans admire. I would call it a contradictory cast of heroes, including the following names, and please don't boo or cheer. We all want to leave friends here today, right? So the list of most admired Americans: the Trumps, the Obamas, Queen Elizabeth, the Clintons, the Dalai Lama, Nancy Pelosi, Nikki Haley, Oprah Winfrey, and Pope Francis. How's that for a contradictory cast of characters? We don't even know who our heroes are. But it gets worse when you talk to people under 30. The most admired Americans is less about history makers and famous politicians or leaders or reformers. The list turns into entertainers and athletes. In fact, the most followed people on Instagram today are Ariana Grande, Beyonce, Kim Kardashian, and Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Those are the top most popular people. Big stars for sure. Famous for sure. Celebrities, sure. But heroes, where are the heroes? Where are the people that do the right thing at the right time to make the world a better place? You see, being famous doesn't make you a hero. Being a celebrity, it's been said that celebrities make the news, but only heroes make history. So for me, it's not the famous athletes or musicians or whatever, as great as they may be. For me, a hero is somebody more like a school teacher or a single mom or a dad that's working two jobs to take care of his family. Come on, somebody. Those are the heroes, the everyday heroes that really change the world. To me, a hero is someone that puts the needs of another person ahead of their own needs, puts the comfort of another person ahead of their own comfort. A hero is somebody who resists oppression even when they have to pay a price to do so. A hero is somebody that stands up for right when everyone else is sitting still for what is wrong. A hero is anyone who comes through when others need them the most. Like our pal Kevin, the bus driver from heaven, who saved that busload of kids. Here's the good news, speaking of Kevin. You can still find heroes in the world today if you know where to look. And it may surprise you that we're talking about Jesus, the hero of heaven, and Kevin, the bus driver from heaven. But there really are heroes, and that's what our series, our new series called Heroes, is all about. We're starting next Sunday. This is my personal invitation for you to come back and join us for 4 Sundays, as many as you can make, and we're going to have a talk, we're going to have a conversation in our church, on all of our locations, about what is a hero, how to become what I would call an everyday hero. We're going to talk about the fact that every person has a superpower. What's your superpower? And each and every one of us has a kryptonite. It'd be pretty interesting to find out what are the things that could undo the future that God has designed for you. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to filter it through the lens of Scripture, because heroism is throughout the Bible. So we're going to have a great study. Please come back, and please be assured that unlike the movies, admission to Gateway City Church is always free, at least until I can figure out how to get a monthly subscription deal going. If you'll leave us your credit card. No? Okay. No. All right. Now let's go back to Jesus before I get in trouble. Let's talk about Jesus and why I would call him the hero of heaven. Consider, first of all, that Jesus Christ, without a doubt, is the hero of history. He's the hero of history. Whether you believe he's the Son of God or not, whether you believe he's truly divine or not, there's no denying that Jesus Christ had an unmatched impact in human history. Here in Silicon Valley, we think in terms of CEOs and corporations, and we think companies that are around for 20 years or 50 years are great, but I want you to think, if you will permit me, to place Jesus in a Silicon Valley setting, that Jesus Christ is the CEO of history's greatest enterprise. If I could just speak that way, that billions worldwide are still investing everything that they have in following him 2,000 years after his initial public offering. The world's great parties, celebrations, festivals concern the life of Jesus Christ, Christmas and Easter. And his life, his teaching has been the inspiration behind the world's greatest art, the world's greatest education, the world's greatest medical institutions, the great realities of human rights and the advance of civilization and culture and the rights of the poor and the broken all stem from Jesus Christ. The great buildings, the great artwork, the architecture, the music of the world written out of an inspiration by Jesus Christ. Though he died on a cross, yet his teachings and his morality continue to shape the culture today of billions of people. And every time you and I write a check or set an appointment, we're acknowledging Jesus Christ as the center of history. For he is the one life that becomes the centerpiece of the timeline of humanity, BC and AD. Did Jesus have an impact? Did he change history forever? I say he's the hero of history. It's true that the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus revolutionized world history. H.G. Wells, for example, wrote, "I'm a historian, not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history." The Hindu leader Mahatma Gandhi had nothing but praise for Jesus, saying, "A man who is completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world." Referring to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, Gandhi one time was quoted as saying, "It was a perfect act, a perfect act." Jesus Christ altered human history like no one before him and no one since him. And for countless multitudes of admirers, Jesus Christ is the hero of history. But he's more than just the hero of history. Jesus Christ is secondly the hero of Scripture. Whether you accept the Bible as God's word or not, I do. I accept it by faith as God's word. The Bible is certainly the most amazing, profound book ever written. The Holy Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the textbook of our Christian faith. And despite unending attacks against the integrity of Scripture, it has never been successfully discredited. Instead, the Bible has been a leading bestseller, always ahead of any other book that has ever been written. And to this day, it is still the best-selling book of all history. There's a reason for that. Jesus Christ is the hero of Scripture. When you boil the message of the Bible down, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. He's the focus of every page. The Gospel of John begins by describing Jesus as the Word of God, the very Word made flesh, the communication of God, that God wanted to talk to us, and he sent Christ as his communication. He's the present one from before creation on page one of the Bible until his kingdom is fully revealed on the last page of Scripture. I saw a quote the other day from Albert Einstein. Ever heard of him? He said this. I don't have it for you on the screen, but listen to the words of Albert Einstein. He said, "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled with the luminous figure of Jesus the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth," this could not be a myth, he's saying. He said, "No myth is filled with such life." So for Einstein, Jesus was the center of the Bible. But more importantly, Jesus trusted the Bible. Jesus relied on the Scripture. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." But Jesus did. Jesus believed in every word of the Scripture. And furthermore, he saw himself as the center of its message. Jesus trusted the Bible. In fact, he said to the religious leaders of the day, the students of Scripture in his day, he said, "You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me," Jesus said. "And yet you refuse because of your bias, because of your predisposition, you refuse to see me revealed in Scripture." It's funny how our mindsets can keep us from really understanding what's true. But for Jesus, he was the center of Scripture and the gift of eternal life that he came to bring. "I made a decision in my life to trust the Bible as my guidebook. I have a compass. Do you? I have a North Star. I have a rule book. I don't make it up as I go. I seek what God's plan is for me, and I do my best to stick with it and receive the wisdom of God's Scripture." And that wisdom is to know and understand Jesus Christ. It's there in Scripture that we find out not just how to live, but we see who Jesus is. We see that he was a compassionate hero. He was a revolutionary hero for sure in history, because he turned the tables quite literally in his culture. But not because he was ugly. He did it because of his great love. And we see this all through the Gospels, that he was filled with compassion. For example, he healed the sick. He elevated the role of women and children in a culture that didn't much respect them. He defended the poor. And instead of celebrating power and might, he celebrated mercy and truth and compassion. Jesus is beloved 2,000 years after he walked the earth, still beloved and worshiped and adored by billions around the world, simply because he was the compassionate forgiver of sins, healer of the broken, lifter of the oppressed, and the giver of eternal life. How remarkable! Not only the impact that he had in history, but the message that comes through Scripture of who he is and what he means to the world. But nothing is as remarkable as the fact that Jesus is not just the hero of history and the hero of Scripture, but third, Jesus Christ is the hero of the redeemed. Can somebody say amen? He's the most heroic person who ever lived, because he redeemed us, he washed us, he cleansed us, he died on a cross for us. As Christians, we believe that when he died on the cross, he rescued and redeemed every one of us from the grip of sin and death. Here's what Paul the Apostle said about his death, his voluntary death on the cross. When we were utterly helpless, Christ at just the right time came and died for us. That sounds like a hero to me. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were still sinners. Jesus is the hero of the redeemed. He's all powerful. And I tell you, friends, you know, you think about superheroes and whatever their powers are, but no power of a superhero compares to the power of life and death. That Jesus Christ is the only one that conquered death by rising again from the grave. Talk about power. He has all power. But I don't want you just to remember that he's powerful today. I want you to remember that he's loving today, that he's good. He's not just great, he's good. And he loves you. And he has compassion for you. And he cares for you. He loves us. He explained himself why he would voluntarily die on the cross, saying, no greater love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You see, he cares. I'm not sure what you might be going through today. But I came here today to tell you, to make sure that you would know on this Resurrection Sunday, that there is a good God, a great God who is in heaven, who loves you. A great God, a hero God who came for you. They remembered their hero God who conquered and came for them. Did you ever imagine that such love exists? I can tell you at 14, I had no clue. I don't speak to you today as a Christian communicator, a teacher, a pastor. I'm talking to you today about what I've experienced in my life. I was lost and broken and lonely. I had no clue that God loved me. I was afraid of God. I didn't want to talk to him. But somehow it landed. The gospel message landed that God cared for me, that he loved me, that he knew me, and that he was for me, not against me. That made all the difference. Because I knew lots of people that were mad at me. But to discover someone who loved me, to discover someone who came for me, that I had a hero, that was it for me. And so I'm sharing with you something that I know to be true and that I've experienced in my life. I'm not sure if anybody's ever explained to you the gospel. We hear about the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's simply this. The hero of heaven died and rose to bring us forgiveness, freedom, and eternal life. Yeah, there are heroes if you know where to look for them. And some of you need a hero. Some of you are going through the worst imaginable time in your life. You never dreamed you could be in this much pain. You never dreamed you could be so confused. I understand that because I've been there. But I want you to remember today, whatever's going on in your life, just like that psalm that we read at the beginning of this message, and they remembered. And they remembered their hero God who came for them. And I want you to remember, no matter how dark or painful this moment is for you, remember that Jesus is the hero of heaven, that he loves you. He loves all of us. He turns none of us away. No matter what our issue is, he will save us and deliver us, and he still does great things. He is the hero of history. He is the hero of scripture. And he is the hero of the people whose lives he's changed, including me. But perhaps the most important question becomes this: is he your hero? Is it real to you? Because you see, being saved by the hero of heaven doesn't happen because you're born in a particular Christian denomination or household, or because you had a praying mother or a believing grandfather. It doesn't come because of your political affiliation. It doesn't come because you're a good person. You can only be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's simple. You yield your heart to him. In the days after the resurrection, that great event that we remember today, the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ, in those days, it changed everything, as you can imagine. They crucified him, but he's back. And people began to ask the question, it's recorded in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, and they started to ask the question, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? If this is real, it's serious. And Peter rose up and preached and answered the question. And his answer was relevant to them and it's relevant to us. He said in Acts 2, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. So salvation, being rescued, being saved, God doesn't force his way into your life. He comes into your life by invitation. It has to be each of us. It has to be personal. Paul explained it this way. We're made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. He didn't say we're made right in his sight by joining a church. He didn't say we're made right in his sight by living a perfect life. He didn't say we're made right in God's sight by becoming a priest or a nun or a monk or locking ourselves up in some cave in the wilderness. He said we become right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved, Paul said. We can all be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we're done. So today, as we close the service, just about 6 or 7 minutes, I do want to pray for you because I care about you. I don't know if I'm ever going to be in the same room with you again. I don't know which direction you're going in life or where we might intersect again. But I know we're together today, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for spending a part of your weekend here at Gateway. I'd like to pray for you. I want to pray for people that are in pain and people that are feeling lost, people that understand they need to be saved. Today we celebrate the great power of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the hero of heaven. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to ask you to decide to put your trust in him. I'm going to pray for your life to change. Would you just bow your heads, please? Just everyone everywhere, bowing your heads, closing your eyes. Father in heaven, I thank you for this moment of intersection where the message of the gospel is intersecting the real lives of real people. And Lord, we each have a choice today to place our trust in you, to save us and forgive us and transform our lives. I pray for people in this room that are going through it, Lord. I can feel the pain. I can feel the doubt. I can feel the frustration of so many people. And I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal yourself so powerfully to each and every person. We have this moment with you, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd work supernaturally. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around, I'd like to know if you're here, because I think God wants to change your life, and you might be a person in one of the two following categories. You might be a person who has served the Lord in the past. You did trust in him. You believed in him. You began to follow him. But something happened somewhere along the way. And today you find yourself feeling so far away from God. I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Believe me, I would never embarrass you. But would you just slip up a hand and let me know who you are? Pastor David, that's me. I'm away from God. I used to serve him, but I want to give my life back to God. Thank you, sir. Wherever you are, lift it up. Right where you are. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Don't be ashamed. Wherever you are, lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep it up for just a moment. I see 8 hands. Is there a 9th hand? Just anyone that would say, yeah, I see you. Thank you. Way over there. You can put your hands down. The other group of people that might be here is people that just have never given their lives to Christ. You You had no idea that God was a God of love. You had no idea that your sins had separated you from him. But now it makes sense and you understand you need to be saved and you'd like to be saved. Again, I would never embarrass you, but heads are bowed in this moment. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm giving my life to Christ today. I want to be saved. Lift your hand just wherever you are. Put it up. Put it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Put it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. All the way in the back. That's wonderful. Father, I pray for these 8 or 10 people who have made decisions for Christ. I'm asking you, Lord, to supernaturally indwell them with the power of the Holy Spirit and let this day be the day that changes everything for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody look up at me. We're gonna say a prayer today. Hopefully you've been hearing a message from God. What would your message back to him be? This would be your prayer. I'm gonna put a prayer up on the screen and I'm gonna invite you, those of you that raised your hands especially, but all of us are gonna pray this prayer out loud if we could, online, in the cafe, here in the main auditorium. Let's pray this prayer. Let's lift up our voices. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and power. I invite you into my life. Forgive my sins and grant me eternal life. Fill me with your power and teach me how to live for you. In Christ's name, amen. Now for those 8 or 10 that raised their hands, there may be others that you didn't raise your hand, but for you, this was a turning point. I want the Gateway family to welcome you into the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're celebrating, and whether you raised your hand or not, Pastor Jordan was telling you about a card that's in the chair in front of you. It says, I'm new here on one side, and the other side, it says, I've decided. We would love to know who's new and what your decision is today, whether you're deciding to rededicate your life to the Lord. We'd like to know that. Your next step would be to fill that card out. The musicians are going to play some songs and we're going to receive the offering. You could either drop that card in the offering or better yet, go directly to the counter after the service and get the gift that we have for you. We have something for you and we want to help you along the way. I'll be back in just a moment. Let's bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord and let's rejoice as a family in the greatness of this moment.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We received that. Come on, if you received that, the love of God, it's for you. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. So grateful, Lord. My sin was great, your love was greater. And what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. Let's worship. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my salvation. What a wonderful name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name.
Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. You see my friends here, they're ready to pray with you. If you came today and you need healing prayer, or you just need to check in with someone, if you made a decision, you need some help, our friends here at the front will pray with you and help you in any way you can. Again, don't forget your card and the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. And don't forget, next Sunday, we start our Heroes series. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some scriptural truth and some inspiration to help you live an inspired life. Let me just speak a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for our guests and friends and family members. Lord, I'm asking that the grace and peace of heaven will drop down like dew upon these people that you love so much, Lord. Let them go with the blessing of the Lord, pursuing a life that you have designed them for. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. I love each and every one of you. If I haven't met you and you have a minute, I'd love to shake your hand. God bless you. See you again.